Welcome to Forward Thinking, a podcast from Foundation Source. I'm your host, Dori Krieger. Foundation Source is the nation's largest provider of comprehensive support services for private foundations, bringing unparalleled knowledge and expertise to over 1,200 clients across the country. The best ideas in philanthropy aren't always the tried and true. Trailblazing entrepreneurs and next-generation philanthropists are transforming the sector with inspiring ideas and innovative strategies. Join us as we explore the advice, experience, and insight of some of the creative minds shaping our collective future. My guest is an actively engaged fourth-generation family member of his family's foundation. Peter Haas is a fellow of the William Penn Foundation, which was established by his great-grandparents Otto and Phoebe Haas over 70 years ago. As longtime Pennsylvania philanthropists, the Haas family invests in improving the quality of life in Greater Philadelphia by generously supporting arts and culture, vital public spaces, educational opportunities, and watershed protection. The Carnegie Medal of Philanthropy was bestowed to the Haas family in 2015. Continued involvement and leadership of family members in the foundation's work demonstrates the family's strong commitment and intentional approach to succession planning. Peter, thank you for joining me in the studio today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
I understand that as part of your fellowship with the William Penn Foundation, you conducted research on successful succession in family foundations, and you certainly hold a unique vantage point with your own family philanthropy experience. I'm curious about what surprised you most from what you learned.
I wouldn't say that there's one thing that surprised me most, but I think the thing that was reinforced through most of my studying was how deliberate and how highly planned successful succession has to be. Obviously, foundations, I think, have the ability to improvise and work with whatever the situation may be. But the idea is that if you want clear roles and responsibilities on the board, and also if you want to build confidence for people that are joining a board, you need to start early, you need to start deliberately, and you need to plan specifically what you want to achieve and why you want to achieve it.
So when you were doing the research, too, I'm sure you came across challenges that people have to kind of implementing those key strategies that you just discussed. What are some of the common pitfalls that families have to tackle?
Mm-hmm. The first pitfall that many families do run into is a lack of engagement or of members who are geographically dispersed and can't engage in the foundation in the same way. I think the second thing, really to link back to my earlier comment, was that a lack of deliberate intentional training, I guess you could call it, in skills, responsibilities, and knowledge, it leads to people who are unprepared and unsure when they're making decisions. The problem with this is that individuals react emotionally to situations instead of logically. And philanthropy is our business. You're there to achieve a specific mission. In our case, it's the greater for the greater advocacy and revitalization of the Philadelphia area. And that's a deep responsibility.
In your research, you spoke with a lot of people. You did a lot of reading, really uncovering what makes a family successful in their succession planning. Was there a compelling story that you thought was particularly interesting when you were doing your research?
I don't think there was any one compelling story that I found. But I think to start, most of the successful families that I researched do, first of all, have a very tight personal bond between the members. They get together for holidays, for family reunions, family retreats. There's a very deliberate sense of family there, which I think is a wonderful thing. I think the second thing that really is emphasized if you're going to run a successful family foundation is, again, to keep all those members connected to what the foundation does. Mm. I have cousins who live in Singapore, in Malaysia, on the West Coast, near Las Vegas, up in Maine, outside of the immediate Philadelphia area. And for many of them, they aren't as connected with the mission of the foundation in an immediate sense. But what you try to do, aside of the family connections, is you try to reach out to them with the research that the foundation does or the work that it does to keep them tightly bound in what happens.
I'd love to turn to your personal experience with your family foundation. And what do you think it is about your family that keeps people engaged for over 70 years? I mean, that's pretty significant. So you're obviously doing something right.
We are. Thank you. I think the first thing, again, is the family engagement. My great-grandparents and grandparents and my parents' generation have done a very good job at deliberately creating bonds between us.
And I think how do you go about creating those bonds? Like, it's one thing to say it, but what's the actual What's the activity that helps foster those bonds?
I'd say there's not one activity. Obviously, there has to be a good deal of face time with your cousins. But what we've also done, especially over the past 20 years, is to get my cousins, my wider cousins, together to do family volunteer projects, either with Habitat for Humanity or Project Home or other organizations in Philadelphia. And so I think that we have the added connection of being able to hang out, joke with each other, do the things that families do. But also there's this idea that we do give back to the community.
So you're a member of the fourth generation of your family's foundation. How many generations are actively engaged right now in the family's work in some form or fashion?
Mm-hmm. Well, the second generation has passed on. That was my great uncle and my great aunt. They died a few years ago. The third generation right now is in leadership positions on the board. In the fourth generation, I believe there are two of my cousins right now, three of them actually, excuse me, who sit on the board, and several others of us who are in training. So that's the immediate group that is invested on the board. But there are a great deal of other people who have potential access. And my parents' generation, there are 8 people, only 6 of whom are engaged on the board. But there are 24 in my own generation.
Wow.
So the idea is that we're trying to both create the enthusiasm, but also provide the training so that if I and my cousins do decide to join the board, we can contribute.
And are there fifth generation members already?
There are. There are about, I think, about 9 or 10 fifth generation members, the oldest of whom is 12 and the youngest of whom is just over 3 months.
That's an incredible range of folks. And I'm curious if you remember the first time you were introduced to the family's philanthropic work.
Yeah, I don't think there was one time when I was introduced to the foundation's work. My parents were always engaged in it. My parents and my uncles, they've done the same thing. We're very clever with introducing to us to the foundation and getting us passionate from an early age. What my parents did when I was younger, we had an allowance or the ability to earn a little bit of money. And there was this idea that you save some, you spend some, and you give some to a charity, the SPCA or something else that you're passionate about. What my parents did, because they had matching money as board members from the grant, from the foundation, what they did is they said, okay, if you have $20 that you want to give, we will match that ourselves, and then the foundation will match our grant. So suddenly that $20 becomes $80 giving to a charity that you really like. And so I don't think that I, at a young age, or even my siblings, had a really clear idea of what the foundation did. But we did have this idea that, you know, we give money, we give back, and the foundation has this ability to enhance that or to make that stronger. So, this is interesting, and we want to become more involved in that or pursue that in some way.
So the idea of giving back to your community and serving your community as well as being involved with your family sounds like it's been a constant. It's just been ever present in your life.
Very much
and
so.
And I'm wondering, was there ever that aha moment that the William Penn Foundation existed? And, this is, you know, just kind of understanding what that meant for your family's philanthropic legacy.
I don't know that there was one aha moment about this is what it is or this is what could happen. It's more almost like sand dropping on a scale. Eventually the weight just increases and increases over the year. And you do realize, wait a minute, you know, when my mom talks about this or my father talks about this, these are things that make Philadelphia a better, stronger place. They take a lot of enjoyment in that. And we can actively see Philadelphia changing and growing and expanding. And that's a wonderful thing to be able to do. They were also very good about setting up almost graduated opportunities to get involved with the foundation's work, be that either volunteering at a site where the foundation had given money, or later on in late high school or college, we were given the opportunity to intern at the foundation in the programmatic side. I was very passionate about arts and theater when I was younger. And it was an interesting way of thinking, okay, the foundation on an immediate level, they give money and it's done in a respectable, responsible way. How do we make these grant dollars work? How do we follow our passion to make things stronger? So I think that was a good transition from charity, where I like to give to something that I'm passionate about, to, okay, you're giving to something, but how do you make the organization stronger and how do you make it more effective? And that's really what my family has been trying to do with my generation as we do join the board. How do we put ourselves in a position to make the foundation stronger and to make Philadelphia a better place through more effective giving?
What are there other strategies that your family has employed to engage you in the work of the family?
Yes. As we've gotten older, the strategies have gotten a little bit more specific. And the nice thing is this does connect to some of the research that I've done, because other foundations, especially the Cerdna Foundation, what they've done as well is they've created next generation boards, grant review commissions, matching grants, travel stipends. There's ways of bringing people more specifically into the work. What my family has done is to create what we call director development, where about a half dozen or more of my cousins will come together on usually a Wednesday night for a few hours, and we'll talk with investment professionals, lawyers, people who run HR at firms, both connections that the board members have made on their own or that my family knows through the city.
Nice. I'm really intrigued by that. So that's a lot of a commitment on your part, too, yes. As a young person. There's a lot of different things happening in your world, socially, professionally. What was it like to make that commitment?
It was reassuring, I think, for all of us, because we really understood that, yes, this is 2.5-3 hours on a Wednesday night, you know, once or twice a month or every 6 weeks, you know, whenever we could. But that we really would be in a position when getting on the board not to be overwhelmed, not to be overmatched, but to really know what's going on. When I was doing interviews, I was talking with several people in the greater Philadelphia area, and one of them said something interesting that really hit me. We were talking about professionalism on boards and people being able to make realistic decisions. And she said, you can't roll double sixes forever. Eventually, someone needs to know what they're talking about. And
I like that.
It's good. And I think it makes a lot of sense. You know, I think that many foundations do a wonderful job, you know, with the various levels of training that they have. But eventually, you have to have more knowledge as a board member to make the tough calls or the wise decisions. And I think the idea is that family board members don't need to be able to replace the investment professional, or the communications director, or whatever position that is at the foundation. But they do need to be able to ask the tough questions, to know which questions to ask, and to know when an answer isn't precisely what they should be going for. Again, it isn't replacing people as much as just knowing what to do or how to get about getting to an answer.
So it sounds like to me that your family has done this wonderful job of creating leadership opportunities and experiences for multiple generations, even if you're not sitting in the board seat already.
I would say so, yes.
Yeah. What is your favorite part about being engaged with the Haas Family Foundation? I know that's such a broad, odd question. So I'm just curious, what does the Haas Family Foundation give to you?
I think the first thing it gives me is a sense of place in Philadelphia and a sense of legacy that this foundation has been here for 70 years, and it's not my foundation. It'll be around for my nieces and nephews and, you know, children someday. But my role is not as much to step into the foundation and use it to pursue my own personal passions. The idea is that I'm working with the foundation to make the city better and stronger, but I'm also... Eventually, I will pass the torch on to future generations. So my goal, my job, is to make the foundation as absolutely strong and effective as it can be, so that way, eventually, the future generations will have the same opportunity that I have. I do have my own, you know, private passions and things that I'm interested in, and it's wonderful always when the foundation dovetails with what I like to do. That's a huge bonus. But the work that we do at the foundation goes beyond what I like or what I may be passionate about. And I think being able to give to that and to help make that stronger is a real opportunity that people don't always have. And so my role is to help increase the effectiveness of the foundation and help it pursue its mission in whatever way I can.
What do you imagine the foundation's impact on the Philadelphia area a couple decades from now?
I mean,
it's hard to be a fortune teller, but if you could see into the future and what you want it to be.
I want to see Philadelphia a more vibrant, alive place. I want to see an active effect that our grants have taken, both in watershed, in education, in creative communities, which I think we can definitely see in the city in terms of helping to revitalize Philadelphia and make it seem visually a different place. I don't want to make any predictions because I feel like in 30 years, if I get this question, whatever predictions I make will be wrong. But I think if we continue the work and if we continue the deliberate work aligned with the foundation and its mission, I think that there will be a constant underlying shift in Philadelphia that we can help to influence and to show. So I don't know specifically, but I don't doubt that the foundation will be very deeply involved.
Well, it sounds like you have a very positive outlook.
Fingers crossed.
Yes. And I want to go back to almost where we started when I was doing the introduction and talking about this foundation was set up by your great-grandparents. Mm-hmm. And you obviously did not meet your great-grandparents.
No, they passed on well before I was born.
But I'm curious, like, how have you learned about them? Have you learned about them, their personalities and kind of what they wanted to do when they set up this foundation? How was that process?
Well, at this stage, it's interesting because they do almost seem larger than life.
Right.
There are, you know, as in any family, myths about people who that you grow up with and learn about, and so you know their foibles become accentuated, and their good things become really pushed, and so for them, I think that this idea that my great grandfather is this pragmatic businessman who came to the country as an immigrant, but really wanted to make the city a better, stronger place, and believed he could do it, you know, both through the Depression and the war and afterwards. And you know, my grandmother, my great grandmother, who was a PhD and had her own professional aspirations, and was also able to give back and to really make the city a stronger place through her own work. I think that it's almost I would almost call it a mandate from them that this is what I've done, this is what I've contributed. What will you bring to the table? How will you be able to influence Philadelphia? It may not be on the scale that they've been able to do, and I think that's absolutely fine. That's not who I am, and that's not necessary to do. But at the same time, not to shy away from an opportunity or to shrink away from a challenge, and to really see, you know, how can I influence this place that I love? How can I be the difference?
So it sounds like you carry them with you in your work. You have in your work as an intern and now as a fellow.
I try to. Again, I think it's hard sometimes to live up to someone who has a bigger-than-life reputation in your family. But I think that you can pull very real things from that and be inspired to that without being intimidated by what they've done or comparing it to what you've done.
Peter, thank you for joining me in the studio today. It's been great to hear about your personal experiences with your family's foundation. Thanks for being so candid.
You're very welcome. It's been a pleasure.
To learn more about this segment of Forward Thinking and our work at Foundation Source, please visit our resources page at foundationsource.com. While you're there, tell us what you thought of this segment and who you'd like to hear in a future one. We'd love to hear from you. Our podcast is produced by Gabrielle Galanek. I'm your host, Dori Krieger.